Just to qualify, I actually, someone said, like in AA, they get their sobriety date and keep it. And in OA, we get our abstinence date and we keep it. I didn't change it. And that was what I was, what was advised to me. And so I keep it in, got it engraved. So if I'm thinking about going back to the food, I'm like, oh God, I have to get a new coin and re-engrave it. And I do anything to, all the little stupid tricks that give me a reason, a little motivation to just not take that first bite. You know, it gets complicated. And so I've been absent since the 8th of December, 1980. And it's a miracle. I have a picture of, this was the summer before. There's a little arrow, which one's me. When I came into OA, I was gaining 25 pounds in 2 weeks. And I'd always been a very controlled eater. What I had been able to do was gain 25 pounds in 2 weeks and lose 20. So I put on 30 pounds in 6 months, and that's about where there's a couple, well, that's in like July, so August, and then 4 more months of going up and down after that. And I could always lose the 20 pounds. Disco dancing was in. Drinking, go disco dancing, drinking. I'd usually end up, I didn't make myself vomit, but the alcohol has helped. And, you know, I could lose 8 pounds in a weekend. Always could do that. I could eat lettuce and cantaloupe, and I think I had yogurt and those three things. I could do that for basically 2 weeks and lose my 20 pounds. My goal was to keep my weight down, and I didn't care how I did it. I had no concept of what eating right was, because the minute my weight was down, I would usually go out and celebrate with a triple dip by a certain point. I had no concept that my, other than if I eat these this way, I would lose weight. I didn't really understand what made me fat each time, what happened. And that's the compulsive, that's the nature of our disease. It is a mental illness. It's an illness that did not let me see truthfully what was going on. A lot of the rest of my life was, I was a very high achiever, but I would lie, beg, steal, cheat to get there. I had advanced degrees that I cheated to get. I had a house full of stolen goods. I would tell a guy anything to go to bed with him. I mean, my life was just based on illusions and falsified records, basically. And no wonder it was falling apart at the seams. You know, the food was what was keeping it all together. And so when I came into OA, luckily somebody 12-stepped me 6 months before I came in. It was the right before I started this really insane eating up, down, up, down, up, down thing. And she was with me at a meal at a restaurant, so I was eating just lettuce and vinegar. There must have been something on the, you know, I didn't put oil on because that would make me fat, right? Anyway, she said, you know, I have some, I go to somebody that might help you. And she gave me information over, she gave me a meeting list, just handed it to me on a piece of paper, and circled the one that was near my house. There were two circled them near my house. They had telephone numbers. She said, just call them first. I'm like, right. I didn't have a clue what she was talking about. I didn't know I had a problem. It was the way it had always been. You know, why would the way I was always been be a problem? It was just getting a bit out of control. I hung around with mostly other people who ate too much and dieted and exercised. You know, I had an aerobics partner, and we taught aerobics together and then had ice cream afterwards. I mean, that's just what we did. And so, but she had shared that, and I put it on my fridge, and then went crazy with the food those next 6 months. And so what happened was I'd been overeating since I was a child. My mother has stories of when I was about 2, and, you know, the kind of laughing at how much bread I could eat, or that I wanted more. But then I was a very thin adolescent, or normal size, I guess, adolescent. I never knew I was thin, but I did secret stuff. I stole food regularly, so most of my earliest memories about stealing food at restaurants, being out and there'd be, a bowl of mints that you could take at the end of the restaurant meal, and I'd kind of walk around the restaurant while the adults were talking and go take one and I'd go take another, and just the deceptiveness of not being able to ask if it was okay to take one, just needing to take it and eat it. And so the deception was just a huge part of this with the food as well. I remember winning an eating contest when I was about 12 at camp. And at the time, I wasn't overweight, but there I was eating as much bread as I possibly could, like 3 loaves of bread or something. And it's just what we did. Making ice cream at camp and then eating the whole thing, and but I didn't think anything of it because I didn't know to. I'm from a family of normal eaters. I got served normal food at meals. Never got served extra. So that's where part of that stealing had to come in. I stole from other children at school, both money to go buy. There was a place I could get sweets, and just food. I didn't care. I went in their lunches and took like half a sandwich, thinking no one would notice. And at the age of, I was in third grade, must have been 8, I was called down to the headmistress's office and confronted. And yes, I had a bag, I had pockets full of coins, I had other people's food in my desk. And I was like, what's the problem? I didn't know there was a problem. I continued to be a thief, a petty thief, lots of ripping off of stores. Don't let me babysit your kids because I'd be missing a pair of earrings or something. Stuff I didn't need, like something out of your kitchen. Families learned to put out a lot of food for me so that I wouldn't take all sorts of stuff out of their cupboards that they might want to use. My life was just basically how to get more of anything. So she gave me that information, that woman 12-stepped me. And I came to my first meeting, but I wanted to read this. Today's the 26th. There are 3 pieces of literature, and I think we might be out of AA 12 and 12. I'm not sure. Oh, there it is. Okay, good. Alcoholics Anonymous. Book. I use the AA 12 and 12, and I use for today, and that's my literature. There was a different book before this one that was outside OA literature, but it was approved to be sold at OA, and then once we got our own book, that one was no longer approved. So that's the literature that I use. I'll read other stuff. I read lots of AA stuff. I actually never want to go back to the food, and every once in a while something in OA literature will suggest, well, you're likely to relapse, or when you relapse, and I'm like, OA stuff, AA stuff doesn't say, well, when you relapse and get drunk, and then do this. It says, do this so you don't go back, and that's all that I'm interested in. And this book tends to be like that as well. I was telling my husband this morning, I know there's one entry in here that rubs me. It's kind of the easier, softer way. But other than that, he says, which day? I said, I'm sure I have it written down to warn me that if I start listening to it, don't. But I don't know which one it is. But this is recovery literature in this book. And it says, addiction stops, this is today's reading, emotional and spiritual growth, stripping its victims of fully half their potential. As a compulsive overeater, I grew physically and intellectually, but remained stunted emotionally, unable to provide sustenance for that part of me which food and academic learning cannot nurture. When I heard the words, I am powerless over food, I felt a surge of relief, a letting loose of a heavy burden, and my spirit danced with joy. With the obsession broken, I am all lightness and hope, reaching out like a child toward the growth that was lost to me. I thank God for the miracle of recovery, a second chance to work towards all that I may become. For today, there is no limits to growth. Abstinence and weight loss are just the beginning. And that is so my experience. I was so relieved to find out that my life decisions had been based on a mental illness, a disease. I just was like, oh my God, it explains so much. I'd never heard the phrase before. I didn't have a clue in a way what it meant. But the minute I heard compulsive overeater, I'm like, God, that is so me. And I never have to go figure out what it is again. It was just like the answer, this puzzle was solved. That to a puzzle I wasn't even looking for an answer. I just wanted to lose weight. And they named me in the meeting. I have never felt shame about being a compulsive overeater. It is just, it's like being a diabetic. I mean, you can feel ashamed if you want to, or that you got a cold today. You know, oh, I'm ashamed I have a cold. I know, actually, I used to feel ashamed when I got sick, but it's really crazy to be diagnosed. What a wonderful thing. What a relief. So, and I had grown physically and intellectually. I'd done several advanced degrees, you know everything, person who doesn't know anything was me. And but I remained stunted emotionally. And my recovery in the emotions, I mean, on a daily basis, well, two things. One, put down the food. And that's what my sponsor said right now, like I was mentioning with the food plan. You put it down right now. This meeting, immediately. And tonight for dinner, you don't eat till dinner time, you eat off of this plan, and then you don't eat until after you call me in the morning. She gave me 6:10 in the morning, I think at the time. I had 10 minutes. I'm like, oh God, I'm 25 years old. I'm like, oh God. And she said, you want to stop or not? And I was like, okay, I'll call you. And you know, I've never binged a game. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as saying, I will do whatever it takes to not go back to the food. So to not pick up no matter what, and to work the steps. And she started me working step one immediately. I did the first three steps in about a month. A lot of writing and reading. I'm working on step one with somebody right now. You know, read step one in the AA 12 and 12. And the next day, read step one in the AA 12 and 12. And then like 2 days later, read step one and eight. I'm going, and my sponsor said, and if you're starting to skim it, read it out loud. You know, you don't know what's written in here yet. And if you start thinking you already know what to do, don't call. You know, you don't need me if you know what to do. And that's really a fundamental part of my program. The minute I go, oh, I know what to do in OA. If I do this, I'll be abstinent. I don't know that. I got to wake up in the morning and say, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to be abstinent. Today, I might have to do something else. You know, I don't share every week. And here I am doing this. I don't know what it's going to take for me to be abstinent today. But the minute I know, and I have it down to a formula, I am probably on my way back to the food. And I've seen that happen with people. They tick off their boxes every day, and then one day, it's not going to work anymore. Because if that's all it is, oh, I called my sponsor, I followed my food plan, I did my writing, I'm going to do whatever it takes to be abstinent today, and I do not wake up in the morning knowing what that is. I know some basics I'm going to do so that I have a chance, but I can't know. The sense of relief, the heavy burden, dancing with joy, and now the lightness and hope with the obsession broken. The promises, there are lots of promises in the big book, and in step four it says sometimes the compulsion will be removed. And the experience of within those first few months, as I said, I got to step three at about a month or 6 weeks, something like that. 5 minutes?
Yeah.
Thanks. That having that experience, I was talking with someone today who had the experience of, you know, walking by a whole bunch of food shops and not just not going in, but not even noticing they were there. And I remember the experience of getting, being done with a meal and realizing at the end of it, I didn't want to overeat. I didn't get, it was, my whole head was not active other than I'm going to be abstinent through this, and I just, you know, did whatever I needed to do. If I needed to call someone in the middle of the meat food, I've done that before. Said, oh my God, you know, I've got my food in front of me, but I, and she's like, all right, leave that one out. Let's come up with something else. But I'll do whatever it takes. But the meals where I haven't had any of those feelings when they, in those first few months, which is amazing. And it continues to be, I never want to stop being grateful. I never want to stop being grateful for a day when I don't have the compulsion to overeat. It's a miracle. I'm a compulsive overeater. I lived with that every day, almost all day long. And for it to vanish, for me not to be thinking about food most of the day is phenomenal. For me, in doing steps four, well, making the decision to turn my life over to higher power, I didn't believe in God. It was all a bunch of hocus pocus. And so it was, I think some of you have heard this before, The Force, the movie, was out recently. And, you know, a force for good that you plug into it and it helps you do the right thing. Fine. And that's pretty much fundamentally what I still believe. And when I don't want to plug into it, that's when I know I will go back to the food. And the fundamental question in my life throughout my day is, Anna, do you want to stay abstinent? Not do you want to go shopping, or do you, you know, want to work an extra hour, or do you want to see that friend? Do you want to be abstinent? Then whatever I'm trying to decide, I need to turn to a higher power first and say, I'm trying to decide whether to go shopping or not. What's the next right thing? I want to stay abstinent. Not, I really want to go shopping. Help me figure this out. You know, it's like, I don't care if I go shopping. And that willingness to really integrate, I made the decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of a higher power and to practice that in all my affairs. That's what step 12 is about. Yeah, that's just what I'm called to do, is to practice letting go, letting go, letting go of all those outcomes I would love to be in control of. I'm moving, I'm changing jobs, I'm going on a holiday.
2 minutes.
And I would love to be in control of all that stuff. Well, yes, I did buy tickets yesterday for the trip. but you know what? If I don't go on that trip, it's planned, but I'm going to be abstinent. And even in moving, always when I go to a new place, if it's going to threaten my abstinence, I will quit that new job eventually. You know, why would I go, oh, but I'm in this wonderful place, I have this wonderful job. If it's a threat to my abstinence, I will leave. And it happened about a year ago in our current job, and that's when I said to my husband, I think I'm going to eat over this job. And I had never said that before about anything. And we've been married 30-some years. And met him my first year of abstinence, so another motivation not to go back and be crazy. But I'm just really grateful that I live my life in relationship to the fundamental decision. I desire, I want to be abstinent. Everything I have is so amazing. Peace of mind I'd never known before I came into OA. I actually had a fleeting glance of it once, one day. I remembered it when I finally got peace of mind. I was like, oh, I remember a day I felt like this. One day in 20-some years. And I'm very grateful to my first sponsor, 6 years. When she went back to the food, I grabbed somebody that day that I found out. I had another one for about 15 years. Current one I got when I came here. I always get somebody where I am. So about 5 years now. And other than that first sponsor, no one's been the best sponsor. You know, they're not the sponsor I want. they're the sponsor I got, and I use them, and they're absent, and they're working the program, and I don't really care whether I like them or not. You know, I use them, and they point me on the straight and narrow, and I'm very grateful. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you for sharing your story of recovery with us this morning.